Lord, I ask that you would fill this place with your Spirit and that you would even still my anxious heart. Lord, in every anxious thought. And I do think of your faithfulness, Lord. I think of your love, Lord, and just the opportunity that I've been able to see you at work in my own life, Lord, and to give you the praise for that. And Lord, I pray that even this morning we would be able to pause from our busyness, Lord, pause from our need for perfection, our need to get our lists done, Lord, that we would keep our focus, keep our eyes on you, Lord, and I pray that this morning would be just an opportunity for us to think about that truth, Lord, that you are working, Lord, and you call us to simply trust you. And in so doing, Lord, you will perform measurably more than we could imagine. So we pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Awesome. Well, good morning. Again, I get to be up here a few times. I get to see your smiling faces. So, and this morning, it is the last day in 2017. So Happy New Year. Happy New Year to you all. And I don't know about you, but whenever I get to a moment like this, a time where like something is ending and something is about to begin, I tend to reflect. I think back on the past, and I think about the future. I do that a lot on birthdays. In fact, to my shame, I will tell you, I just turned 29. So if you didn't give me a birthday card or a birthday gift, I'll forgive you. No. But as I turn 29, I got to be honest with you, as young as that is to many in this room, you look at me and say, you naive little kid. I honestly kind of pouted. I was like, man, last year being in my 20s, and what's 30 going to be like? I've never been 30 before. I don't know. I know what the 20s are like. I like them. They're good. I got married in my 20s, so praise God. But as we look at the end of 2017, we look out into 2018, I personally can reflect back on this past year. For me, God gets the glory, but for me, it was a year of watching God open doors. He closed doors, but he opened some doors. And I will tell you, last year this time, I did not know that Kingston, New York existed. I will tell you, I had no idea about Grace Church, didn't realize that there was such a connection even between the church that I was attending, Hershey Free Church, and Grace Church. There's actually a history, and people know each other well between our churches, but I had no idea who you were. And as I began that process of coming here, I will tell you, I watched doors close that allowed me to pursue you as a church and to come here and to be your pastor. But I also saw doors opening constantly. And I will give God the glory for that. It's also been a year of some hardship for me. Having to say no to some things. I love you all. I will tell you. I love you all. I love Grace Church. But I had to move. I had to leave something that was comfortable for me. I had to uproot myself. Had to uproot my wife. And we had to say no to something in order to say yes to being here. So I've seen hardships, but I've also seen a lot of reason to praise God and to give him the glory for what he's doing in my life. And that's just one year. Now we look out over 2018 and I say, where am I going to be next year this time?
Here.
aside from here. Yes, but I say that's my story, and I am one of many people in this room, and maybe you have a similar kind of story where you were somewhere last year, and here you are now, 365 days later, looking back and saying, well, I've seen God and his faithfulness. I've seen hardship, but I've seen joy, and now we look out over 2018, and we say, where do we go from here? What active step do I need to take now in my life that I need to go where God is calling me to go? And so as we pause, we have an opportunity now as a church to kind of say, okay, here we go. Let's set our feet and look towards our trajectory for the future. we have a chance to say, okay, so what's our first step going to be as a church? What's our first step going to be as a follower of Jesus Christ? And I don't want you to miss this, because I've said this to you multiple times. I've only been up here a few times to be able to actually to preach. This is actually my first sermon as a pastor here to give an actual sermon. So I haven't had the opportunity, but each time I've been up here, I've really tried to get back to the basics with you, because I don't want you to miss the truth. It can be very easy for us as individuals, especially as Americans, very easy for us to want to take control of our lives. I think it's a human quality that we want to take control of our lives. We want to make ourselves better. We want to strive. We want to strain. So when I say, well, let's set our feet and let's move in a new direction, or let's continue on in that direction God has called us to be, it can be very easy for us to want to say, okay, what do I have to do better in my life? And we can neglect the basics of our faith. So as we begin this morning, let's turn to Ephesians 2 again. I feel like saying again. I've been here multiple times now. We're not going to end here, but let's start here. Ephesians 2 verses 8 and 9. It says, "For it is by grace you've been saved, and it's through faith. And this is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, and it's not by works, so that no one can boast." So here we are. We're talking about a new year, and yet we have to come back to God's grace. We have to come back to God's grace. To be a follower of Christ does not mean to be perfect. To be a follower of Jesus Christ means to live in grace. But grace is messy. Grace is very messy. In my past year, I've seen grace displayed in many ways, but it doesn't mean it was a perfect year. It means it was a year that I've seen God's grace displayed in my life. And then we get to verse 10. "For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." And when I hear that, phrase, "which God prepared in advance for us to do," I think about 2018. I think about the truth that God has a plan for my life in 2018. God has things in store for you to do in 2018. It's not by accident that He called you to be His child. He called you to be His child, if we take this text seriously, for a purpose. But that purpose isn't for you to simply accept Jesus Christ, take that faith seriously that He did give His unmerited favor for us. He died on the cross for our sin, and if we put our trust in Him, that we will have eternal life. It's not just for that. And then all of a sudden, now we have to move on, and now we have to try to earn our favor with God. The reality is, if we put our trust in Jesus Christ, He wants to put that same grace that He put in our life and salvation, and He wants to work that out now in every area of our life. I say this to you because I'm a perfectionist. In fact, we talk about my birthday. My wife gave me a great birthday gift. Something from Hobby Lobby. You ever hear about Hobby Lobby here in the Northeast? Love me Hobby Lobby. But my wife got me a gift, and it was a plaque. It said, "Live by grace, not perfection." So here my wife is giving me a gift, and it's this reminder, hey, stop trying to be perfect, live by grace. Live by grace, not perfection. And so I have that hanging on my wall in my office, hangs right in front of my door, so I see it very often throughout my day, remind myself, don't get stuck in your perfectionistic tendencies. Keep moving by grace. And so my story is that I accepted Christ when I was 5 years old. But like I said, I'm a perfectionist, so I mixed up Christianity with my own perfectionistic tendencies, and it created 15 years of frustration. 15 years of me saying, yes, I'm a Christian, But looking at my own life and wanting to diagnose myself as a failure, looking at my life and saying, I'm not a very loving person. I'm not very joyful in all circumstances. You know, when my brothers wanna bother me, I get angry. When my mom tells me what to do, I get defensive. Why do I do that, Lord? Could I really be your child if I'm such a broken individual? So for 15 years of my life, I got stuck in this pendulum of needing to prove myself to God, wanting to earn his favor, because I thought if I proved myself to God, then I would no longer have to worry about the reality, am I really a Christian? It all came back to me. It all came back to my need to prove myself and my need to work. And it got tiring. When all you do is strive and strive and strive and strive on your own power, you're going to hit the wall from time to time. And so, I can remember times when I would just lay awake at night and wonder, Lord, I'm scared. If I die, I think I might go to hell. Would you really love me? And I missed the point of God's grace, that it had nothing to do with my work. It had nothing to do with me. It had everything to do with what he did up for me on the cross. And he had called me to live as a child of God and to put my trust in him. That the work of God is for me to trust in him. It's not to all of a sudden become a Christian, now I got to try to start loving more. But if we're not careful as a church, we can look out into this next year and say, well, how can I live my life better? You know, that those books, you see those bestseller books at Barnes & Noble, like 10 ways to live your life better. You know, this way, if I read this book, maybe I'll have a better diet, or I'll love my spouse better. Or, you know, they have all these books about if I just try better, maybe my life will end up better. But that's not at all the point of the gospel. It's not for me to just trust Christ and now I got to try. So this morning I want us to turn to Galatians 5, and that's where we're going to end up. And I've been reading a book by a gentleman named Brian Chappell. His book's called Holiness by Grace. And he has a nice little paragraph in there I want to read to you. It says, after initially trusting in Christ to make them right with God, many Christians embark on an endless pursuit of trying to satisfy God with good works that will keep him loving them. Such Christians believe that they are saved by God's grace, but are kept in his care by their own goodness. This belief, whether articulated or buried deep in the psyche developed by the way we were treated by parents, spouses, or others, makes the Christian life a perpetual race on a performing treadmill to keep winning God's affection. So I'm going to ask you, do you find yourself on that perpetual treadmill this morning? And if you do, it's okay to admit it. Like I said, I spent 15 years of my life until I was 20 years old, and I still find myself wanting to get on that treadmill, and I have to fight myself off it. I have to fight myself from that temptation to get on that treadmill. So let's read Galatians 5, verses 13 through 26 this morning, and let's get into God's text. You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free. But do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. For the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command: love your neighbor as yourself. If you bite and devour each other, watch out, or you will be destroyed by each other. So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. The acts of the flesh are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissension, factions and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking and envying each other. I want us to walk backwards through this passage now and just look at some of these truths of what it means to live your life in God's grace. If we start in verses 24 and 25, read them one more time to you. It says, those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. So again, verse 25, since we live by the Spirit. So how did you become a Christian? How did you become alive? You didn't become alive because you proved yourself to God, right? You became alive because you put your trust in someone who could do the work you couldn't do on your own. That's how you became alive. So since you live by the Spirit, you became alive by that same Spirit, now God's calling you to walk in step in that same Spirit. So if you're walking in the Holy Spirit, it means that you're not now graduating onto something new. It means God wants you to take that same faith now, and He wants to have you apply it into every area of your life. This isn't something new. This isn't some brand new gospel that we have to now suddenly adapt to. This is us just trusting in Christ. Now that we put our salvation, our salvation is in Jesus Christ. Amen. So we're saved. It's not like you become saved, now you lose your salvation, and now you gain your salvation. That's not what I'm saying. But now that you become saved, now that you become a follower of Jesus Christ, He gives you His Holy Spirit. And He's now calling you to do the exact same thing, though. He says, now put that faith into practice in every area of your life. Now trust me. Trust me in every area of your life and watch what I'm going to do. He gets into this list of things. He talks about the fruit of the Spirit. It's love, it's joy, it's peace, it's forbearance, it's kindness, it's goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. These are great things. I love to be loved. I love to be joyful. I love to have peace. I long for peace. Don't you long for peace? I love these things. But the truth is, this passage isn't saying that I need to become more loving. It's not saying I need to become more joyful. It's saying that as I trust in Christ, as I walk in step with Him, He's going to produce these things in my life. In our last home, Amanda and I had a bunch of fruit trees. So we had an apple tree, and it was a pretty nice size apple tree comparatively. So it had a bunch of really small apples. Whenever I'd mow the lawn, they'd be everywhere. In fact, one of the years we lived there, it frosted well, so there weren't a lot of apples, so it made my life a whole lot easier. But this apple tree always produced apples. We had a cherry tree, always produced cherries, and a pear tree that always produced pears. They didn't produce different things. The apple tree never produced a cherry, to the best of my knowledge. But the trees produced something, because that's what they were created to do. And we, in the same mindset, if we take this text seriously, if I trust in Jesus Christ, if He gives me His Holy Spirit, He promises that just like that apple tree is going to produce fruit, I'm going to produce fruit. He's going to produce something in my life. He's going to have to produce love in me. Not for my own benefit, but because it's what He promises He's going to do. His Holy Spirit, it's going to produce joy and peace. These are things that I couldn't do on my own strength. And the awesome thing about it is, if we go at life with this mentality, He's going to get the glory every time. There's another list in this text. It's these acts of the flesh, and it's a nasty group of sins if you look at it. And yet I find myself in them, and I go, oh, what a failure I can be at life. Here's the list. It's sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissension, and factions. Now, if we're not careful, what we can find ourselves doing is comparing ourselves to that list. You know, we can look at it and go, you know, I really am not into witchcraft. I've sexual immorality. You know, I'm doing okay on that. Or, you know, I'm not getting drunk. You know, some of these things on this list we can look at and go, you know, that I don't do that. I'm not that bad of a person. And yet, that's not the point of the text. The point is, if we're left on our own, we're going to be constantly producing these things. Especially, I love it. He lists all these terrible things, then he goes, selfish ambition. I'm like, yeah, I am a very selfish person. And if we're not careful, we can become people that want to live off a checklist and go, well, you know, I'm more loving, I'm more joyful, you know, I struggle with this sin, but, you know, I'm doing all this stuff. And it becomes this perpetual race to try to prove ourselves that, you know, I really am a good Christian. That's not where God wants you to be in 2018. It's not where he wants us to be in 2018. In fact, if we go jump now down to the verses 13, it says, "You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free." You were called to be free. I love that. You were called to be out of your slavery. And I look at that, I look at the fruit of the Spirit, and one that hadn't really shown itself to me, I hadn't really seen it until the past couple years, is the fruit of self-control. And as I reflected on that, it's now become something that fascinates me. Because one of the truths of the definition of being a slave is that there's someone that does not have self-control. A slave doesn't have control. A slave is owned by something or someone. And we're comparing the acts of the flesh to being a slave. That you are stuck. You are not able to get out of that bondage on your own. And so it gets into this. The selfish ambition has popped out to me a lot in this, as I've read. Selfish ambition. So left on my own, I'm going to constantly go back to myself. I'm going to become the idol of my life. I'm going to want to find pleasure for my own self-gain. But if we're called to be free, and if he has given us his Spirit, he's actually given us the Holy Spirit to give us freedom. He's given you freedom. The world, let me tell you, the world thinks that to be a Christian means that you suddenly become this person in bondage of religion, right? Like, oh, now I have to go to church, and now I have to try to do the right thing. When in reality, if we look at the world, it's the exact opposite. We're the free ones. We are the free ones. The world is stuck in bondage. And yet the world looks at us and says, look at those people, they're wasting their time, they're in bondage to religion. Isn't that a crazy lie from Satan? That we can look at our lives in two ways. We can look at our lives and say, oh, I'm stuck. Or we can look at our lives and say, I am free in Christ. And so one of our initiatives at Grace Church is Grace Beyond the Walls. So here we go. I just think this is funny. I want to point this out. So we're Grace Church. We're talking about grace, our initiative, Grace Beyond the Walls. We love grace here. Let's not run from that grace. Because the reality is, it's not that we're Grace Church being Grace Beyond the Walls. We want to be Grace Church taking God's grace that he's given us beyond the walls. We're not here being Grace Church taking our own efforts. We're Grace Church taking what God has given us, his abundant grace, that fruit that he's producing. We're going to take that love, we're going to take that joy, that peace that he's given us, Freely he's given it to us, and he freely wants us now to give it out to the community, to give it out to the world. But why do we run from grace? Why do I have to even give a sermon on grace? And I preach this to myself. Don't think I'm preaching this right at you. In fact, I practice this a couple times this week, and as I practice, I get heated. In fact, Dave Holler came in, and I was hiding in the blue room, which is upstairs here. In fact, the blue room is the best room in the church on these cold days because it's right above the boiler room. If you're ever like, where is Kent? Blue room. But why would I have to even preach this to myself? Can't remind myself, gotta live in God's grace. Gotta live in God's grace. Get off the treadmill. And it's because I think three reasons. One of it, which is, if I take this seriously, I have to die to my own self-righteousness. I can no longer compare myself to a list. I can't look at the list and go, you know, well, I'm doing a little better with loving others. I'm doing a little better at being joyful. Because it's no longer my efforts, it's him who's working through me. And when I see those good works, I give him the praise. It's no longer for my benefit. I can't puff myself up. In fact, I find myself lowering myself because I'll go, huh, I'm terrible on my own. God, you're awesome. So that's one reason why. I think a second reason I don't like to live in God's grace is because I have to put to death this desire to compare myself with others. Again, because it's not my effort, it's his. And if I am walking in step with the Spirit and he's producing things in my life, it's awesome. If he's producing things in my brother and my sister's lives, that's awesome. And if I look at them and I go, you know, I could look at them and go, you know, I'm loving better than they are. But that would totally miss the point. Totally miss the point. The reality is that whether I'm loving better than they are or they're loving better than me, we're just spurring each other on to do good things. It's no longer about Kent. It's no longer about you. It's about Jesus and his work in our lives. And I think thirdly, reason why I don't like to live by grace is because it makes my life very uncomfortable. Very uncomfortable. Because maybe you think that like if you do this, it's going to make your life easier. It's not. It's going to make your life a whole lot harder. Because if I take this text seriously, he's going to produce love in my life and joy. He's going to produce peace in my life. It means that when he puts me in uncomfortable situations, he's going to call me to do these things. Again, not for my glory, but for his glory. So when I bump into somebody and they're a jerk to me, he gives me the power to love them. He gives me the opportunity, even when life is hard. Even when life is hard. He gives me the opportunity, he gives me the ability to be joyful. And that is hard for me to say to you, because I know there are people that are hurting in this room. And there are people in our congregation that are having very hard lives right now. For me to say, be more joyful, that's not what I'm saying. But I am saying that in the future, as you work through your hardship, my hope, my desire is that you will see Christ in your hardship and you will see his joy being produced in your life. I have seen the work of God displayed in people that are in a lot of pain. Have you ever been around someone who you just look at them and you're like, how are you joyful? If it was me, I would be so upset. And yet, it's not them who is joyful. It's God producing joy in their life. For us to be grace beyond the walls as we're taking this fruit of the Spirit out into our community, we're going to be love to our community. We're going to be joy to our community. We're going to be the fruit of the Spirit. God promises that. We're not going to be perfect. In fact, it's awesome. When we're not perfect and we still continue on, I think that's when we can really show God's grace in our lives, because we go, you know, screwed up. God's still working. We keep moving. We don't get stuck in this need to be perfect. I have a friend who keeps texting me and reminding me of people that he's sharing the gospel with. And I look at this and I go, my word. He multiple times the past couple weeks he's texted me and said, I'm sharing the gospel with this person, pray for them. And I could give him the glory, this person that's sharing the gospel, but I know he wants to give God the glory. But he's seen his opportunities, and whether he feels like he has the right words to share or not, he goes and he shares the gospel. And we as Christ Church, as God's people, need to be faithful and willing to step into that messiness as well. That when God gives opportunities to bear his fruit in our lives, we just need to be faithful and trust in him and allow him to do it. The nativity was awesome. Man, when you get a bunch of animals together and you have we have these angels, these little angels running around our church, it was messy. But God was so glorified in that. And we don't even know what we're going to hear about years from now, maybe from that nativity time. I'm not calling us to be perfect, because God's not calling us to be perfect. But I am calling us to faithfully put our trust in him each and every day. I look forward to 2018. I really do. I'm excited. I hope you're excited. Because we're going somewhere. As Grace Church, we've been going somewhere, and we're going to continue to see God working in our lives. Just like he did something in Nativity, just like he's been doing things in our lives, and we can have these God sightings and these God stories. God is doing a work in our life. So I want to give you just three quick applications for this. We'll wrap up our time. If we're going to live by God's grace now, what do we do? I think one thing we need to do, you would expect this from a pastor, is we need to be engaging in God's word. Because if we're reading God's word to earn his favor, we're going to struggle. But if we're reading God's word because we want to walk in step with him, we want to grow in our relationship with him, seeing him displayed in our lives, if that's our goal, then we're on the right track. So that should encourage us to be in God's word. Because it's no longer me trying to love others better, it's me watching God do his thing and giving him the glory. So I would encourage you, if you're not someone who regularly gets in God's word, maybe this 2018 could be a time for you to set up a new rhythm, a new routine. And I'm not calling you just to read the Bible for an hour a day. Maybe you don't read the Bible at all. So an applicable step could be downloading the Bible app on your phone and just pressing play to a chapter a day. It only takes usually about 3 minutes to do that. But I will promise you, if you're getting in God's word, you will see him at work in your life. So I just press play, listen to it. You may even find yourself rewinding it and playing it again because you'll think, what, that's actually in the Bible? But I would encourage you, just begin that process of that one little step of growing your walk with Jesus. And maybe another step is prayer. Again, not because we need to be fearful and earn God's favor, but because we want to be attuned to what God's doing. We want to be in contact with the one who's producing the fruit. If you're looking for someone to pray for, I would encourage you to pray for me.
That was a selfish statement.
There are people that are still awake. Fantastic. I would encourage you to pray for me. Pray for your spouse. Pray for your friend. Pray that God would be producing fruit in their life. It's not this magical thing that we have to say this with these right words. I just pray, God, would you produce fruit in my life? Lord, I want to see how you're going to display love in my life. And then as God gives you the opportunities, I want you to watch as he gives you the opportunity then to love others. It's taking these small little steps this year. I think you're going to see big dividends at the end of the year. Again, it's not going to make your life easier. In fact, this could be a very hard year for people in this room. But man, I want us to be able to look back, even in the hardships, and say, you know, I still see God's joy in my life. I still see God's patience in my life. And we're going to give him the glory. And lastly, last active step is, let's be grace beyond the walls. And I don't want you to think about that phrase anymore as grace beyond the walls. I don't want you to equate that with me needing to work harder. I want you to now equate grace beyond the walls as me trusting in Christ and watching Him produce fruit in my life. Because when we come in now on Sundays, we can give Him the glory. It's no longer about me. I'm not going to come in here and say, you know, I loved others better. I'm going to come in here and say, oh, God, you were awesome. That person was so hard to love, and yet you worked through me. We're going to give Him the praise, and we're going to give Him the glory this year. I hope that leaves you encouraged. I hope that doesn't leave you stuck this morning. But let's be people of grace, people who love watching God work and giving Him the glory. Let me pray for you. Oh, Father, I thank you. I thank you that you are the one who does the work in our lives. Left on my own, I get stuck time and time again trying to prove myself to you. And yet you're not calling us to live that way. You're calling us to trust. Lord, as we trust you, Lord, I do pray that we would be people that are living in your Holy Spirit and are watching you actively work. God, I pray we'd be people that would be pointing back to our ways we've seen you work, and then we would be people that would be giving you the praise and giving you the glory. Oh, Lord, we love you. We thank you that you gave us a purpose. That purpose is far beyond our own. Lord, be with us, I pray, as we look out into the future, Lord. Be with us. In Jesus' name, amen.